Hello, everyone. It's time for French Politics, your weekly dose of analysis about the people, policies, and ideas competing for our votes. The presidential election is now in full throttle, as candidates try to differentiate themselves from the pack by throwing new ideas into the media machine. Right now, we already know a few of the main themes that will be debated over the next 5 months. Public spending, the welfare state, immigration, the public education system are bound to be important keywords. Foreign policy is rarely a defining issue of a campaign, but it looks like the relationship with Russia, the transatlantic alliance, Syria, the reform of the European Union, terrorism might lead to interesting discussions. These are all quite traditional themes. But there is a new topic on the table now, the basic income, or revenu universel de base. The concept has existed for a long time. Thomas Paine in 1797 was one of the first to theorize a basic capital grant for individuals, and it has been the subject of intense deliberations between academics, economists, and intellectuals since the 1970s. Then, Nathalie Kosciusko-Morizet brought it up during the right-wing primary, and Benoît Hamon is now making it a leitmotif of his campaign on the left. What is the basic income? It is an income paid by the state to all individuals, whatever their professional or personal situation. It is universal and unconditional. The rationale behind such a vast and costly program is that automation combined with machine learning, i.e. artificial intelligence, are on the verge of provoking a massive worldwide crisis in employment. A recent study by Oxford University found that 47% of all jobs worldwide could be done by machines. 47%. Additionally, advocates of a basic income argue that, unlike the previous industrial revolutions of the last 200 years, the coming revolution is going to destroy jobs without creating new, more high-income positions. Indeed, if machines can not only produce autonomously, but also identify problems, repair themselves, and perfect themselves over time without human intervention, Schumpeter's theory of creative destruction breaks down. The consequence, they say, will be mass unemployment, that no amount of retraining can mitigate. Therefore, very high unemployment levels are going to become the norm rather than the exception, and we can't let hundreds of millions of households fall into poverty because of that. That's the justification for a basic income. The corollary for a basic income is that the nature of work is going to change radically. Paid work would no longer be our main activity. We might have multiple part-time jobs and non-paid activities like volunteering, or we might have to find non-financial ways of payment, like a point-based system that would give preferential access to various goods and services, like housing. Who knows? It's a whole new world out there. At first, the basic income can sound like another unrealistic idea of the far left, but it has actually been gaining support among neoliberal conservatives, who see it as a way of radically simplifying the welfare state. They see the basic income as a replacement for the dozens, if not hundreds, of different welfare programs and privileges. It would drastically reduce the size and complexity of the bureaucracy. However, this seemingly surprising bipartisan support for a basic income hides a big obstacle to its implementation. There is no common definition of what a basic income should be. Some see it as a substitution for existing welfare programs, where others see it as an additional program. Some see it as a temporary solution, while others think it is a long-term necessity. And then there is the question of who pays for it and how. If it is tax-reliant, then it will require a complete overhaul of the tax code. Should consumers or companies pay for it then? If it is based on a corporate tax, shouldn't companies that use a lot of automation be taxed more heavily than others? And if it is financed through a tax on goods and services, how do you avoid a death spiral whereby everything becomes more expensive? So you have to increase the basic income, which in turn makes everything more expensive. And then there are questions about how the basic income affects social security and the pension system. Finally, changing the nature and social utility of paid work affects one of the most important principles of modern society, that human beings find their dignity in work, and that it is through labor and ingenuity that societies and civilizations move forward. If human beings live in an economy that doesn't require their participation, where must they find their dignity? And can that economy grow if there is less of an incentive to innovate? But think about it. These questions are not as much about the concept of a universal basic income as they are about the new world that is quickly appearing before us. A basic income is but one possible solution. All we know for sure is that between a quarter and a half of all jobs today are bound to disappear within the next 20 years, particularly in low-income and emerging economies that rely on manufacturing, but not exclusively. And this is happening right now. Newsweek predicts that by the end of his first mandate, President Trump will have to deal with as many as 3.5 million former truck drivers who will have lost their jobs to self-driving trucks. In France, 300,000 drivers are going to lose their jobs, as well as 150,000 employees in the financial sector. All in all, by 2025, smart machines are likely to replace 30% of human jobs in France, 40% in Germany, and 40% in Italy, according to the OECD. Now, some say that we needn't worry, because historically such revolutions have always created more and better paying jobs. Others support that in the past, machines have increased human productivity and led to better working and living conditions. Maybe. But we shouldn't ignore the fact that unlike during previous industrial revolutions, we are in a time of exponentiality, not linearity. The rate of change is exponential. Machines now learn exponentially, meaning that the more they learn, the faster they learn. Meanwhile, since the 1980s, our productivity has increased at a third of the rate at which it increased over the rest of the 20th century. So let's hope that the presidential candidates discuss this, because it's a whole new world out there. That's all for today, folks. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next week with a new episode of French Politics. I'm Guillaume Delangre, and you're listening to English Waves. See ya!